Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Where's my music at, boy? Oh, there it is. Yeah, everything's a little weird today, man. Try to go live. Scheduled it as upcoming. And then now we're here. We're live, baby. This is what I'm feeling like. Let's see if I can pull it up. This is what I'm feeling like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm feeling like today, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's how we feeling. You know what I'm saying? Damn. My horizontal's fucked up. All right, we're good. That's what I'm feeling like, boys. Sorry to the audio listeners if you can't see what I'm talking about. We got a big one for you guys today, man. We got news about Joe Burrow. We got news about Shedeur Sanders. I got to stop distracting myself here, boys. We got Thursday Night Football. We got, what else have we got? We got a lot of stuff today. I forgot to put a new lip pillar in. So we're going to do that. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Shedeur Sanders starting. First NFL start. See if I can spit this out here. Wait for everybody to file in, or we won't. We'll just send it off, and you're going to have to listen to this in recorded form. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, though. If you don't subscribe to the channel, you're not this right here. You know what I'm saying? We're looking for some real dogs around here, man. That's what we're looking for. Okay. You guys know this song, Brown Paper Bag. Cuffing your hoe on the nose, you calling me dad. Hey. All right. One more drop to the top. Hey, okay. Hey, man, this is what I'm trying to be today, right here on the screen, baby. You know what I'm saying? I need some dogs. If you're a dog like this, hit that subscribe button. Bare minimum, hit that like button. And if you don't do either, don't let your ass hit the dough on the way out, baby. And that's just how we're doing it today. That's just how we're doing it, boys. Just like that. You know what I'm saying? So, look, here's the deal, man. My Cincinnati Bengals, they bring back. Look, so I'll paint you guys a picture here. I wake up this morning, and the first thought that comes to my mind, I figured this out last night. The first thought that comes to my mind, bacon soda! Thank you for the sub. Graciela Ordonez. Yes. First thought I had this morning, fellas and ladies, was holy shit. I'm going to be the first guy to tell everybody that Joe Burrow's playing on Sunday. I'm going to be the first guy. And we're going to clip it, and it's going to be awesome. And you guys, if you guys are football guys, you've been seeing it all day. Dan Orlovsky's caught on. Kirk Herbstreit's caught on. Pat McAfee's caught on. And Joe Burrow's going to play on Sunday. It is not officially official, but I can tell you right now, if Joe Burrow is going to return for the Bengals this season, it's going to be this week when they are mathematically still in it. This team's going to have to damn near win out. They're going to have to win out. Even if they win six of the last seven, they're going to be outside looking in because they're not going to get a wild card spot in the AFC. They're going to have to win the division. They're going to have to win the North. And right now, they're three games back. Season's all but over. The only reason that this is going on, a lot of people are saying that Joe Burrow is a psychotic competitor. If he can have the ball in his hands, healthy, he's going to play. What's up to Vanilla8254? New here, appreciate it. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. I'd imagine if the algorithm brought you here, you like football. And if you like football, you're going to love our channel. So hit that subscribe button. But everybody in the media, here's what they're saying about Burrow today. They're saying he's a psycho competitor. They're saying he wants the ball in his hands if he's healthy. T. Higgins is saying he's running around on the practice field looking like it's week one. This is my take on it. The Brown family knows that those seats in Paycor Stadium are going to get real empty real fast. And here's how the Bengals operate. Cincinnati sports really in general, but the Bengals particularly, when their back is against the wall, they're going to find something to reinvigorate the fan base and inspire hope, so that the seats stay full and therefore the Brown family's pockets stay full. This is a money play, bringing Joe Burrow back into deep, dark, bloody waters where this defense literally couldn't stop a Down syndrome version of Brucey from the longest yard. Now, Dijon Anthony, the Ole Miss Rebel, is supposedly practicing this week. Is one player on defense going to make the difference? I don't think so. Does Cincinnati have to win out to have a chance to make the postseason? Yes, they do. What's up, Natalia Altamirano-R18HS? The Bengals are going to have to win out in order to have a chance to make the playoffs. Even if the Bengals win six out of the last seven, you got Baltimore twice, you got Buffalo, you got New England coming up this weekend, and then you kind of cruise into a few easy games, Miami, Arizona, Cleveland, late in the season. That's seven games. That's the remaining schedule for Cincinnati. It's very bleak. I don't understand it. If it were up to me, leave Joe on the bench and just tank. And try to get the best draft pick you can, even though Duke Tobin's going to waste it. But top 10, he might not. Top 10, it might be so obvious that somebody as mentally challenged as Tobin might be able to have a can't miss pick fall into his lap, much like Burrow.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place. with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Much like Chase. Much like Higgins. Now, the Jamar Chase pick was highly scrutinized when he made it. And also this week versus the best team, arguably one of the best teams, in the AFC, in New England. You have him in Cincinnati, and you're without Jamar Chase because he stupidly spat on Jalen Ramsey. I understand it's been a tough year. I'm not going to hammer Jamar Chase too much over this, and I haven't. I really haven't talked about this much at all over this week on the show, Jamar Chase spitting on Jalen Ramsey. Everybody's covered every angle of it. You know, it was stupid. He lost his cool. You got to be in charge of your emotions. But to play devil's advocate, it's been a tough season. Cincinnati goes into Pittsburgh on Sunday in a must-win game in order to keep your chances in the AFC North alive for the moment. And they just lay a fucking egg. It's the most disgusting football team. I didn't watch that game. I'm glad I didn't. And I swore off watching this team going back to the Bears' loss. I swore it off. You go into the... And this past week, going into Pittsburgh on Sunday, the Bengals had an off week. So you go into the most pivotal game of the year at the moment against your arch rival. We're so bad that Pittsburgh might not even consider us their number one rival in the North. You have an entire off week to prepare for the biggest game of the year at this moment against your arch rival, and you get thrown to the ground by Darnell Washington. Three guys in one play, you lay an egg. That's the only clip I needed to see from that game to know that I was thankful for not watching it. This team is bad. This team is terrible. And I think that Joe is coming back too early. I had a buddy text me today. He asked me, where can I bet on Joe Burrow getting re-injured? And I thought to myself, that might not be a terrible investment. That raises a whole other slew of questions. Is he injury prone? Why do people feel like Joe Burrow can't even survive 7 games at the helm for Cincinnati? Joe Flacco was able to get it out quick. Joe Flacco was able to stay relatively healthy. He got his shoulder driven into the ground, his throwing shoulder. But the only... I came to this conclusion last night. The only feasible time to bring Joe back is this week. It's still going to be an incredibly tall task for Cincinnati to even sniff the idea of winning on Sunday. Not for 1 second last Sunday. I didn't watch. I listened to a moment of it on the radio. There was not a moment checking the score for me where I believed Cincinnati was going to win that game against Pittsburgh. And you have an entire bye week prior to prepare going into the biggest game at the moment of the season against your arch rival, and you lay a freaking egg. This team is not good. Now, the question comes to mind with Joe. He is, it's true, he is his psycho competitor. If he's healthy and he's able to have a ball in his hands and sling it, he's going to want to do that. Is there anyone in the Cincinnati Bengals building that has the cojones to tell Joe, no, you're not playing. We're tanking. We have no chance. Because that's the realistic view for the Cincinnati Bengals, the 2025 Bengals. There is no shot that we are even sniffing the postseason. There is no shot. Pray to God I'm wrong. Pray to the heavens above I'm wrong. Shout out to Dev Quinn. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. There's no chance that Cincinnati wins out after showing what they've shown really since the Green Bay game. The Green Bay game, what was it, week six? Flacco's first start. The Green Bay game was when they benched Logan Wilson in favor of Barrett Carter at Mike, linebacker. Ever since that game, this defense has cratered. And it's easy to say why. You lost your veteran leader. You lost your nucleus in a self-imposed fashion, might I add. That was, to me, at this point in the season, the benching and subsequent trade request of Logan Wilson, other than Joe's injury in week two, those are the two massive turning points in the season thus far for this 2025 Bengals team. I would argue that the Logan Wilson segment was most significant, even over Burrow's injury. Why? The offense has been humming for the most part. They looked really bad on Sunday, but that was the first time they weren't really humming. They weren't statistically. If you're looking at EPA per play, I don't really get into all that, but it helps for my case right here, right now. You look at EPA per play, Cincinnati had one of the best offenses in the league, and then the narrative of, well, Joe's not that good, you can plug and play quarterbacks, that dumbass narrative started to emerge. I was bamboozled, I was frazzled, I was completely perplexed as to how Flacco has been able to get it out much quicker than Burrow seemed to get it out the first couple weeks of the year. Getting the ball out of that pocket. But the defining moment in this Bengals season, and a terrible decision, might I add, by Al Golden, to bench Logan Wilson. I understand that you want to throw your rookie guys to the fire. You got two rookie inside linebackers with Barrett Carter and Demetrius Knight, the second rounder out of South Carolina. Both rookies. Demetrius Knight's cleaned it up a bit. I think he had a pretty good grade. I try not to follow PFF grades too much because I think a lot of people doing the grading are...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Not former players, not people that are familiar with the schemes. Unless you're in a building, you can't be familiar with what someone's assignment was and if they actually did their job or not. Nobody outside of a building is going to be able to gauge that. So for that reason, PFF grades are bullshit. I've heard about Uber drivers being PFF graders, all this stuff. That was exposed way back on McAfee. But if you're looking at that, at least for my case, I don't like EPA, I don't like PFF grades, but in terms of the talking points we're presenting right now, it's helpful to know. Demetrius Knight graded out pretty well against Pittsburgh. Barrett Carter graded out absolutely horrible. And his play, like, you know, I understand the idea of wanting to throw rookies into the fire, wanting to rebuild a defense that has struggled for a few years, mightily. I get all that. But if your plan was to bring back Joe this early to save the season, then you've completely contradicted yourself. It's going to be a tall, tall task to win any of these games, the next four games. And then what do? Because then we get to a discussion of Joe Burrow. It's probably best you don't play the rest of the year because we have no chance. And he's probably going to get pissed. He's probably going to ask, why not? He's a competitor. That's what I love about him. His dad was a college defensive coordinator. He's got a linebacker attitude at quarterback. He's going to be like, why the hell not? And I don't know if there's anyone in the building for the Bengals that have the nuts to tell Joe Burrow no. Joe Burrow is the most powerful person in that Bengals building. Far and wide. Most powerful person in the building. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore, man. The Bengals have to win out in order to have a shot. And football is a team game. I just don't see how one player can affect that at the most important position, albeit. But we've had great play on offense, and we've still managed to lose game. This is the story of bad teams. Bad teams, when given chances to win, do not capitalize on them. And we've seen that time and time again, not just this season, but last season as well with the Bengals. Even if Joe plays at the level that he played at last year, which is unfathomable to think about, even if he plays at that level, I still think it's tough for this team to pull out games, let alone the last seven in a row. Now, did they do it last year? Yes, they won five in a row to end the season last year. Go 9-8, and again, you leave your fate in someone else's hands. Even if they completely run the table for the next seven games, it might still be in someone else's hands for the Bengals to make the playoffs. Six out of the last seven, even. I'm talking one more loss, and you are definitely outside looking in to wrap up the year if you win six out of the last seven. So, to me, the only logical reason that Cincinnati is bringing Joe back while we're mathematically still in it is so that fans don't give up hope and keep coming to the games. When Joe plays on Sunday, I'm going to watch. I'm going down to College Station, Texas, to watch my Samford Bulldogs play the number three team in the country, Texas A&M, my 1-10 Samford Bulldogs in FCS. We're going to get beat by a lot, but it'll be fun. You know, you see the guys and whatnot. But I'm getting back to Phoenix 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning, so I will be on my ass to watch Joe Burrow come back. And I told you guys, I swore off watching this team after they lost to Chicago going into the bye. I swore it off. I thought there's no point. I still don't think there's much of a point. But I'm going to be interested because it's a change. We got Joe Burrow back. And this is what this organization does time and time again. They want to try and dupe you into being hopeful again because they don't actually put real work in over there. If they were an honest, hardworking organization, they wouldn't have to pull you back in with empty hope week in, week out. They would just win games and do their job, and everyone would be in seats anyway. But no, we want to take the cheap route. We want to let's bring Flacco on board to try to save the season. But okay, then we're going to trade our veteran linebacker, leader of our defense, because he rubbed us the wrong way behind closed doors, and now our egos are hurt. We're trying to offload a bad contract that's going to absolutely nuke our defense or the morale or the spirit of it. I talk about it all the time when I was with the Indianapolis Colts in 2019 on the business side. We had a veteran tackle named Anthony Costanzo, and we had a great offensive line. Many guys more talented than Costanzo, but that veteran presence of Costanzo being there helped all the young, more talented guys play better. And Logan Wilson had that effect on the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Not one position group on the Bengals defense, we talked about this exhaustively, not one position group on the Bengals defense do you have any semblance of a leader. You think Jordan Battle's leading guys? You think Jordan Battle's leading men? You think Geno Stone with his wimpy tackles and his missed assignments is going to lead men? There's your safety room. Cam Taylor-Britt out for the year. That guy's not a leader. Dax Hill, too young. He's one of the only guys that hasn't played incredibly terrible. DJ Turner, still young. Not really a guy that's going to step up and lead yet. And you got two rookies at Mike. And you got guys up front on the defense that, you know, like who even are our interior D linemen anymore? We still have BJ Hill. You know, he's kind of a more quiet, reserved guy. TJ Slayton. He seems like a guy that was cutting up after our losses. Like, there's just no leaders. And so I think the worst decision of the season for Cincinnati was benching Logan Wilson. When you're trying to win now, man, it's just inept malpractice. And we've talked about this with the Bengals for the last 18 months of this show. The dysfunction, the ineptitude, the nepotism, the entitlement, the lack of grit, the wasted draft picks, and nothing's changed. There's been no staff changes. There's been no nothing. They send mixed messages. We're going to bring Flacco on to try to save this season. We're going to bring Joe Burrow back early to try and win out the last seven games of the year. Bringing Joe back, we're going to try to save it. But then you blow up the defense. And yes, one player like Logan Wilson makes a difference when that's your leadership. That's your voice on defense. That's your green dot guy. It's mixed messages. They don't have any direction. They don't have any definitiveness. They don't have any intention. They're just going with the wind because every single thought in the top echelon of the Bengals organization, every single thought in Katie Blackburn's head, in Mike Brown's head, in Duke Tobin's head, is fear-based. And you see it in their behavior. Anybody who's cheap like this, anybody who owns a $5.7 billion NFL football team with sole ownership that's flying commercial to Charleston in the middle of a work week, is cheap. And anybody that's cheap, it has a fear-based mind. And that's why the Bengals are dysfunctional. All of the thoughts in upper leadership are fear-based. We're always thinking about how to not mess up instead of how can we put our guys in the position to go out and do their thing week in and week out. That's all it is, folks. It's fear-based. What else do we got today? We got Thursday Night Football tonight. The Houston Texans are going to be playing the Buffalo Bills. Texans winners of two in a row. Bills coming off their best offensive output of the year. They put the belt to the Bucs last week, a good Buccaneers team that has kind of fallen off the last few weeks, but I think they've faced some staunch competition. Tampa's still a good team, and Buffalo put belt to him last week. looks like is this correct, y'all? Pop in the chat if you're a ball knower here. Help me out. It says in my outline, the Texans have the number one defense in the NFL this season, 16.3 points per game. That's pretty impressive. D'Amico Ryan's doing a good job over there, giving the Texans a little bit of hope. They had that crazy win against Jacksonville, and Davis Mills will be their guy again tonight. I was standing at a bar with Davis Mills at a wedding back in May. Davis Mills led them to that victory. Josh Allen, meaningless stat, but Josh Allen, nonetheless, 7-0 on Thursday night games. How does a team with the league's best defense, 16.3 points per game for Houston, slow down Josh Allen and an aggressive Bills offense? Well, they got to tackle. They've got to dominate the line of scrimmage. They've got to push their front five guys back. They've got to get a rush on Josh Allen a little bit, make him feel it. And they've got to have really sharp defensive back play. That's the third most important. The most important thing is that they wrap up and they make tackles and they dictate the line of scrimmage. That's the most important thing in any football game to me. The Texans are missing C.J. Stroud. It's his second concussion of the season. Wow, I didn't know that. Third week in protocol. But Davis Mills has been lethal with Nico Collins. Target share has been high, and Davis is executing well. Look, Davis Mills is an NFL vet, man. He understands how to make reads. He understands when he needs to make decisions fast. He's going to get in there and do the job. It's going to be a really tall task for him to beat Josh Allen and Buffalo tonight. What, the game probably starts here in about 2 hours. But I think it's doable, and Houston's playing every game with the mentality that they got this season on the line. That's where they're at right now. And they're led by a former player in that organization, D'Amico Ryans, who's going to continue to cement those thoughts in these guys' heads, unlike an organization like Cincinnati. Buffalo's offensive line versus D'Neal Hunter, and the Texans' pass rush. Will the Bills have time? We will see. I think that's going to be the defining factor in the game, is whether D'Neal Hunter can get back there and disrupt a little bit. Will Anderson, if he's playing, get back there and disrupt a little bit. They've got really great edges on Houston's defense. And if you got two edge rushers of that caliber, one edge rusher can sometimes still impact it, but when you have a guy on either side that can take over a game on a defense, it changes the complete tone of every game. Keon Coleman got benched. Disciplinary reasons. Apparently the guy's been missing meetings. He kind of seems like a bit of a goober. You know, you look at him. He's a funny guy. Makes some plays. Great player. But I could see him kind of being a little goofy and not being able to is that racist? You know, it's just the guy's face. You could just look on the guy's face and kind of tell, like, oh, this guy could be dumb at times. Yeah, I just can't explain it more than that. I don't mean to burn bridges. I think he's a great player. I'm not trying to sound like I'm hating. He was benched for, I don't know if he's benched the whole game or if he's just bent, if he's not starting and then they're going to bring him in later. It says here he was sat the entire game after being suspended. Was he? So he didn't play at all against Tampa. I haven't gotten a chance to catch up on that game. I just saw the score. He was caught dancing on the sideline. I did see that. While benched, not a new incident. He was allowed to be on the sidelines. Apparently, he's done something new since Sunday, since being disciplined, possibly late to a Tuesday meeting or practice following his Sunday suspension. This is potentially his second disciplinary benching in 1 week. He's young, immature, and the pattern is concerning to the team. People talk about how lower level players get cut for this kind of behavior. I know I was never the talented guy that could show up to meetings with Chick-fil-A in my hand 15 minutes late. I saw guys that did do that, and they were able to do that for a reason. Football is a hierarchy. It is not an egalitarian microcosm of football team. If you're a dog and you're producing for the team, you're going to have a shorter leash. If Keon Coleman was a practice squad guy and missed two meetings in 1 week, two disciplinary actions in 1 week, he's getting cut. Straight up. There's a story about Bill Parcells running a meeting, and in the same meeting, he catches a kicker dozing off and pounds the table and rips him a new one in front of everybody. And then in the same meeting, apparently, You had Lawrence Taylor dozing off, and one of the coaches was like, hey, coach, LT's dozing off. And he said, well, LT needs to sleep. That's the difference. It's a very real thing. Some people want to have an attitude about that in a building and be like, no, I deserve respect. I deserve this kind of clout from the coaches. And it's like, dude, if you're producing on a football team, you're going to have a longer leash. And I definitely think Keon Coleman knows that he's made some plays. He's been a good player for them at times.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
And then maybe he's got a longer leash and he's missing meetings. It's really concerning, though. It doesn't matter who you are. If you repeat the same mistake multiple times, especially in a time period as short as this one with Keon Coleman, you got some concerns if you're the Bills. You got to take this shit serious now. You got to be a professional. Maturity crisis is Coleman a good kid who's immature, or is there a deeper character issue? Nobody will be able to speak on that. Only time will be able to answer that question. Accountability, generational gap. College transfer portal culture allow players to avoid accountability. Coach gets in your face, you leave for another school. This is the downside of everything in college football that we're talking about on the NIL side, the transfer portal side. You got kids dodging accountability. It is human nature to dodge accountability. I see it all the time with my Pop Warner kids. They fuck up, you get on them, and they do this. They throw their hands up. It lights me up, boy. I want to smack them when they throw their freaking hands up like that. But it's human nature. And the reason I know that is because I see kids do it. Kids that haven't been taught yet. That when you mess up, you just say, and I tell him, this is an accountability thing. I tell him, I say, look coach in the eye and just say, I'm sorry, I messed up, I'll get it next time. It's done, it's over. It's very easy. As a man, you got to take accountability. So with Keon Coleman, he's out again tonight. Second disciplinary action in the first week. So, again, is he dumb? Is he a genuinely unintelligent kid that means well? Or is there a deeper issue here where he's like, fuck that. I made some plays, man. I'm a dog. Like, they're going to see me when they see me. That is much more toxic for a team, for a culture, for a locker room, than just being a dumbass kid that like has problems sleeping, oversleeping or whatever. You know, like with Keon Coleman, like you just look at his face. He just kind of like football guys. They got to be intelligent, but sometimes you know, some mentally challenged folks sneak in to the elite rooms. Let's just say that they're so freakishly athletic that they could kind of forget a play here and there, forget a check or a read or a play call here and there, and still go out and be functional. You know what I mean? Keon Coleman's a hell of an athlete. So I do think there's a generational gap. It's going to be a lot of this shit from college football is going to bleed into pro football, and it looks like it has. With situations like this, if it is a greater issue for this young cat, Keon Coleman, to take accountability and learn from his mistakes, then his career in the league might be cut. I forgot the word I was going to be used. Might be cut short. You know, unfortunately so. Interesting. Hot takes, tangent starters on this. College coaches aren't held accountable anymore. Well, portal. Players aren't held accountable. Portal. And now the NFL has to deal with the fallout. This is a systemic problem. I think college coaches are held accountable, but players are not. And that's what makes it so challenging to be a head coach in college these days. You got kids that you have to basically walk on eggshells with as a coach. It doesn't work when you're a football coach at any level and you have to walk on eggshells. I was very blessed with my Pop Warner kids that their parents all gave us the green light to say, coach them how you coach them. We will stay to the side. Coach them how you coach them. Because it would make our job a lot harder with men that young if we had parents micromanaging our coaching, if we had parents saying, no, you can't yell at Johnny for false starting. It's his first year playing the game. That lack of accountability, which we're very blessed. We don't have that in our program that I coach in, but I'm sure there's programs out there that have that where the kids, you know, the parents protect the kids too much. They allow them to dodge accountability, and then that mentality leaks into every area of their life until they're wondering why they're not having success in anything. If Coleman did go get laid again, that's not immaturity. That's disrespect. You're telling me a first-round pick can't set an alarm. I'm saying, man, we had some guys late to workouts in college one time, and our head coach popped into the workout to be like, who was late? Why were you late? And a couple of guys, they were like, it was like one or two, maybe three guys that were late. And they said, well, coach, my alarm didn't go off. And he looks at him, he goes, you want to win a championship? And they go, yeah. They said, my goddamn alarm wants to win a championship too, motherfucker. You better get your shit in check, boy. Real talk. Compare this to the 90s, 2000s. Players would get chewed out, build relationships with coaches, and become better men. Now they just transfer. Which system actually builds better people? Well, that's a pretty rhetorical question. I would think that in the 90s and 2000s, you got a relationship with your coach where it's a healthy, fear-based relationship, meaning you know that you got to move in a way that doesn't get your ass chewed out. I can't imagine how many kids in present-day college football got chewed out by a head coach. Head coach is meaning well, trying to help them, and the kid takes it the wrong way and just transfers. This is the culture that might be affecting pro football right now with guys like Keon Coleman. We'll see how the whole thing turns out. Hopefully he learns from his mistakes. They've probably called him into a room and said, look, man, you are playing with fire. You are looking at unnecessarily debunking your entire career before it even starts. He's a talented guy, but if he in his head is thinking, I'm too cold, I'm the man, and I can show up to meetings whenever I want, that's going to undermine the integrity of a team and therefore going to render any of your talent that you feel like you have as a player completely useless. Damn, we're already at 40 minutes. And we're on schedule too, baby. We're on schedule. So C.J. Stroud out tonight with a concussion. Second concussion since his rookie season. Each caused him to miss at least two games. He struggled to clear the protocol quickly in his rookie year and is doing so again. This will be his third game missed due to concussion. Stroud is at increased risk for another concussion. So the way concussions work, it's like an onion. Every time you get a concussion, you peel back a layer of the onion, and each layer of the onion that gets peeled back, it's easier to peel the next one back. We talk about this in fighting a lot, taking care of each other's head, making sure we're not giving our training partners concussions, and football's no different. It's like it's layers to it. So the more concussions you get, the easier it is to get the next one. That's why I have no idea why Tua is still playing the game, because at this point, it's really going to be really easy for him to get that fifth or sixth. And then we're getting into territory of I can't remember my kids' names at age 47. So we got to look out for this with guys. We got to look out for this with quarterbacks. We got to look out for this with Stroud. Next concussion he gets, he might have to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Some wondered if he's becoming the next Tua, but doctors don't see the same response. Most QBs only miss one game for concussion protocol. Stroud is on an outlier at 3 games missed. Interesting. Here's an interesting question. Why is Nico Collins thriving with Davis Mills when he wasn't flourishing with Stroud? I haven't watched enough Texans football to answer that. Is there a physical mismatch or timing issue between Stroud's mechanics and Collins' route running? You would think they'd have that tightened up. You would think they would have that taken care of. Is C.J. Stroud heading toward a pattern where he becomes unreliable? 3 games missed for concussions is a red flag. I'd say this season he's been unreliable. I mean, time's going to answer that. I don't have the answer to that. When a guy starts getting concussions, it gets really dicey. When a guy starts getting multiple concussions, it gets really dicey. And you think about a highly cerebral position like quarterback, where probably 90% of your proficiency, 95% is mental. And concussions obviously compromise your brain in a certain way. That's why I think we've seen Tua's play deteriorate. He's played better the last few weeks. But concussions alter your ability to quickly and sharply make decisions. Trust me, I know. You know? So why aren't teams learning that backup quarterbacks are actually better options in certain systems? Davis Mills could be proof. Flacco played great in the Bengals offense. You know, they bring him on board. You just don't get the chance. Like, you get when you're a pro football organization and you have your guy, you have your perceived franchise quarterback, why would you give anybody else reps in practice? Why would you, unless you're a great dominant team and you're up by 3 or 4 scores in the fourth quarter, then you give your second guy a chance. Then you get your second guy the ability to spin it, show what he's made of a little bit. But the question, why aren't teams learning the backup quarterbacks are actually better options in their systems? They don't get reps, because why would they? If Stroud keeps getting multiple concussions, what's the real conversation? Is he tough enough? Or is the Texans' front five not protecting him? Some guys are just more prone than others. Some guys are just, it's just nature playing itself out. The idea of luck doesn't, like saying somebody's unlucky, that doesn't make sense to me. Nature is nature. Things happen without much more explanation than that. But toughness could be a question with C.J. Stroud. I know every time he faces a tough game, he goes to the podium and just kind of deflects everything onto God and that kind of thing. I'm not hating, but maybe he's not the toughest guy in the shed. I don't know. I don't know this guy. I don't want to burn bridges and seem like I'm hating. C.J. Stroud wanted to come on the show, I'd have him on, But so there's that. Looking at my notes on the Joe Burrow thing. Yeah, everything in this outline about the Joe Burrow stuff is stuff we covered. Interesting. Organizational dilemma. Burrow is highly paid and rehabbed hard. Do you reward that effort by playing him even in a lost season? See, that's what we're talking about. It's like, just doesn't make sense to me to bring Joe back. The only explanation for them bringing Joe back is the Brown family are scared. Again, fear-based thinking. The Brown family is scared that there will be no butts in seats for the rest of the year if they don't invigorate a little bit of hope into this organization, into this fan base. All just to crush it at the very end. Like, watch the Bengals win the next 6 and then drop week 17 to, the Browns or something to get bumped from the playoffs. That's the story of being a Cincinnati fan. Not just the Bengals, Reds too. I'm looking at these hot take questions. Is this a case where Burrow's toughness and competitiveness work against the organization's best interest? Potentially. That's a hell of a question, actually. If Joe Flacco keeps playing well in spot duty, does the Bengals front office start rethinking the Burrow investment long term? No, absolutely not. And Burrow's going to play on Sunday. It's not definitive in the press, but you're looking at a guy that follows and studies this team and this organization like nobody else. Joe Burrow will play on Sunday. If Joe Burrow does not play on Sunday, they should shut him down the rest of the year. If they start Flacco on Sunday, this is a scenario I do not think is going to happen because it would be unfathomably stupid, even for the Bengals. If they run Flacco out there and we inevitably lose this game against the 92 Patriots in Cincinnati, we are now 3-8. So even at that point, if you win out and you go 9-8, you're on the outside looking in the playoff picture. It's a lost season. It's over. So if you run Flacco out there to start on Sunday against the Patriots, we should not see Joe Burrow run out another time for the Bengals this season. And if you do see that, even if the and I don't even want to get into territory of when the Bengals lose their next game, probably this Sunday, what they might do with Joe. But if for some reason you see Flacco run out there and there's another thought of Burrow playing another down of football this season for the Bengals, it will show you just how unfathomably dumb of an organization they are. So it only makes sense, with it being mathematically viable for the Bengals still to make a run, to bring Joe back this Sunday. So I'm telling you here and now, it is confirmed that Joe Burrow will play against the Patriots on Sunday. I woke up this morning before I'd seen any of the media headlines. I was like, I'm about to break this juice on the show today. And everybody's going to look at me as the guy that broke it. But no, you got Orlovsky on it. You got Pat McAfee, Kirk Herbstreit talking about it. It's been a whole entire discussion today. Maybe if we were a morning show, I would have been able to pop that out before anybody else. But I was studying a lot of content last night on it, and it just made sense to me. He's been a full participant Tuesday, full participant in 11-on-11 yesterday, again a full participant today in practice, apparently Joe Burrow was. And so this is the time to bring him back. Again, it's a lost season either way you cut it. There's no way this terrible Bengals team wins their last seven games. There's just no way. And even if you win six out of the last seven, you're outside looking in. You got to win the division. You're not getting a wild card spot in the AFC. Just not going to happen if you're Cincinnati. Michael Penix out for the year. That talking point kind of puts me to sleep. Shedeur Sanders. So Kirk Cousins will be the quarterback for the Falcons for the rest of the year. Kirk O'Bang's finally getting his shot again. Shedeur Sanders, he's going to be starting his first game on Sunday against the Raiders. He'll get all first-team reps this week to prepare, and that was something that the prime sexuals, the race baiters on the internet, have been talking about all week. Well, Shedeur played terrible because he went 4-for-16 because he didn't get first-team reps. These people, these race-baiting-ass people online that are prime sexual that we'll only talk about Shedeur Sanders even though he's a fifth round. I'm not trying to hate, by the way. I hope the guy plays great. But these people on the internet that are race baiting and using Shedeur Sanders as their medium of doing so, they are a cancer to the internet. They are a cancer. I talk about this all the time on the show. I posted a clip criticizing Sanders a few months ago, and the race baiters that flooded my comments with just toxic energy was baffling to me. Just the most divisive rhetoric you're thinking. They're calling me pink toe, Peckerwood. They're saying my opinion doesn't count because I'm white and I probably wear Sperry's and Vineyard Vines. They're saying all this shit, man. They're saying all this shit. And it's a race thing. It's this toxic reverse racism. I don't even want to call it reverse racism. It's racism. Where you're creating a special excuse for somebody in the name of your virtuous cause. That's what the prime sexuals are doing online. using, they're using Shadur as a vehicle to further the narrative that I'm virtuous. I want to see black people do well. It's utterly ridiculous. Let's objectively measure the performance of a player just like we objectively measure the performance of every other player. That is racism. Even if you're giving someone special treatment, you look at it as a good thing. That is racist. I'm going to be extra nice to Tyrone because he's black and he's the token black friend of our friend group. That's racist. It's racist. To not bring up certain things, to not talk about certain things around your black friend, that's racist. You're walking on eggshells, that's racist. You're a racist. But no, it just, it drives me nuts, you know. And so you got the people with Shadur saying that he didn't get first team reps. There's so many quarterbacks in history that come in without any first team reps all season and play well. What was it? Yates for Houston did it. Sean King did it. And there are a couple others, but in this moment, I don't know enough ball to name them, but a ton of people have done it. The first team reps thing is not an excuse. It's just, it's again, it's a subliminal, passive aggressive race conversation in an unnecessary fashion, might I add. Let's objectively evaluate players regardless of their skin color. To not do that is racist.
You're racist. You need to leave.
Dylan Gabriel ruled out and got a concussion. And again, like people weren't saying that Dylan Gabriel didn't get first team reps when he first came in. Max Crosby, Myles Garrett facing off two elite pass rushers who will be active. Somebody predicted that this could be an all-time sack record game. Both defensive ends going crazy. Shadur had mixed results in the preseason. One good game, one bad game. Expectation management. Shadur will either be hailed as the guy or trash. There's no middle ground coming Monday. And the reason for that is because of the toxic race baiters. The people that are vouching for Shadur the most are the reason that Shadur gets hate. Because people sense that it's not right to give somebody different treatment based on a narrative. You shouldn't be using another man to further your made-up narrative in your head that I'm virtuous because I look out for black people or whatever. The prime sexuals are the reason that Shadur Sanders gets hated on. The very people that vouch for him endlessly to further their cause. People smell it, and it's just what it is. That's why he gets hate. I'd love to see him go out and ball, dude. It'd be a hell of a story. When he went in the game for the Browns against the Ravens last weekend, I was driving back from Palm Springs, California, and I had it on, I had the Browns broadcast on in the car. I was wanting to get into it. I was wanting to see him get a win against the Ravens. Obviously, a partially self-interested perspective coming from a Bengals fan. Obviously, I wanted to see the Browns beat the Ravens. But we've got to look at it objectively. You know, this is the most polarizing fifth-round quarterback possibly in history. And it seems that a lot of people gravitate toward the race discussion with Shadur Sanders. And I don't think that's the right thing. I think that's the wrong thing to do. We got to objectively evaluate players' performance, regardless of skin color, regardless of lineage, background, all that. Raiders bad on both sides of the ball. This is a perfect storm for a sack fest. We're at 56 and a half minutes. We've covered some good stuff today. Let's see. Eagles, we already covered that. Carly Ursay, we already covered that. Lane Kiffin, we've exhaustively covered that. There's rumors that Steve Sarkisian might be out at Texas due to underachievement. That's something we will follow very close. I think we're in for a big storm with the college football coaching carousel. If we weren't already in one, Bill Belichick at some cheerleading competition that looked horrible, looked like a terrible thing to be at. If you guys know ball, you know what I'm talking about. And I found a Mike Leach clip. Well, maybe we'll close the show with this. We're back. I love that freaking bulldog, though. Look at this guy, man. Look at this guy. That's me, bro. Anytime the Huzz comes around, that's me, bro, for real. Anytime the Huzz. And then one of my boys is like, oh, he just means that you look good. That's all. He just does that. When good-looking women come around, you know. You know, body tea or whatever. But let's listen to this real fast. Because we're the ones that know. I don't know. I just saw that clip on Twitter. I was like, I want to include that today. Rest in peace to the GOAT. My head coach in college at Samford University, Coach Hatcher, was a disciple of Coach Leach and the air raid offense. And a lot of the principles, stories, values that shaped my life as a man came under Coach Hatcher at Samford University, and a lot of the value stories, philosophies came down from Mike Leach. So I think that's why I always feel like I have some sort of relationship with Coach Leach, even though I never got to meet him. But rest in peace to the king. I think he was on to something there about the committees, and I hope the committees prove us wrong, but just seems like there's a little bit of incompetence on these committees. We'll see. We'll see if these committees are fear-based, if they're scared of the masses accusing them of being SEC biased. They should be SEC biased. Let's have an all-SEC playoff, guys. I don't give a shit anymore. Let's put the best teams in the college football playoff. Let's set politics aside. Let's watch some film. Let's keep women off the committee because they've never played the game before. And Let's not just have a little country club get together where Brad's a nice guy. He's never played football, but he's a nice guy, and I like having cocktails with him over at the Marriott in Scottsdale. So let's add him to the college football playoff committee. You are harming the fans and the teams that work hard when you display any eon of incompetence picking this college football playoff. It's a sacred task, and it should be taken serious, and I'm not sure if it is. Okay, guys, here's what we are going to do. I'm going to send you guys off. You guys like this instrumental, huh? This is Migos. You guys ever listen to Migos, man? I had a guy put me on to Migos back in 2015, man. The Culture album, man. Brown paper bag. Cuffing your hoe in the low and she calling me dad. Throw him in the trash. Hey. Hey. We're at about hour one. We're on the outro. Who day? Jacob. Man. I can't believe Burrow's coming back, dog. He's going to be back on Sunday. Everybody's tiptoeing on it, walking on eggshells about it, saying, oh, well, we don't know for a fact if Burrow's going to come back. He's coming back on Sunday. It's the only logical explanation. This organization is so delusional, man. but maybe it'll help to be delusional. I would love Jacob to eat my words and watch this Bengals team win the last 7 in a row. But it's just not going to happen, boys. Pray to God that I am wrong. I'm saying, man, just rest him and tank. That's what we all want. But he's a type of psycho, man. And that's what everybody in the media is saying today. He's a type of psychopath that if he's healthy and he's got a ball in his hand, that he's going to want to play. And is there anybody in the Bengals building that has the balls to tell Joe Burrow no? You guys remember when LeBron was negotiating trades? Whether it was, I don't know if it's the Lakers or Cavs. Same thing. Joe's the most powerful guy in that building. Who's going to tell him no? That's the first question. But the real reason that they're bringing him back, guys, if you want to know the truth, I've said this whole show, is they know that the seats in Paycor will be empty. There's not some sort of catalyst. Instead of actually doing their job and building a competent football organization, they want to bait the fans into showing up every Sunday just to disappoint them. That's Cincinnati. It's about money. That's why Joe's coming back. It's a revenue play. They don't give a shit about the fans. They don't give a shit about winning. They care about their pockets. Hope they prove me wrong. We're not going to be here tomorrow. I am flying to College Station, Texas at 9:44 a.m. Phoenix time, Mountain time, tomorrow morning. So there will be no show tomorrow. Okay? Sorry about it, guys. I will hop on a Madden stream. You have my word. This evening, I will hop on a Madden stream because there will be not be a show tomorrow. I will be traveling to College Station, Texas to watch my 1-10 in the Southern Conference Samford Bulldogs, my alma mater, the place I played. They're playing the number 3 Texas A&M Aggies in College Station. So it's going to be a 75-point blowout. But we'll get to hang on the sideline, do all that fun stuff. So that's what I'm going to do. So there will be no show tomorrow. If you guys are in here for the first time, make sure you hit that subscribe button, because I imagine the algorithm brought you here because you like football. And if you like football, you're going to love our channel. Hit that subscribe button. Daily shows Monday through Friday, 6 Eastern. Madden streams. We're going to get back on that train. And we're going to start with it tonight. I feel bad because we don't have a show tomorrow. So we will do a Madden stream later tonight when I get home from jiu-jitsu. You can find us on all audio platforms. I got to update the last few episodes on the audio platforms. But if you want to make your girl listen to some ball knowledge in the car on the way to your date, this is a good way to do it. Pop on the show in the jar. We're on every audio platform. You can watch the replays of every episode on the YouTube channel. Kick, Twitch, if you prefer horizontal. We go vertical on YouTube to try to get pushed to more fans, potential fans in algorithm. So make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of it. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Hit the like button, bare minimum, or don't let the dough hit your ass on the way out. For real. Don't be a hoe. All right. Love you guys. We'll talk on Monday. Let's see how all this unfolds on Saturday and Sunday. How about it? Did a really bad thing right there on accident. Depends on how you look at bad, I should say that.